Welcome back to The Short Code, a podcast of wit and wisdom from the students of the University of Iowa Carver College of Medicine. I'm Dave Ettler. Like most jobs, that of physician comes with pressure. There are pressures that are well known to laymen: medical malpractice, demanding patients, hospital administrators and managed care, not to mention the occasional life and death decision. But one source of pressure we don't hear much about comes from drug companies. For sure, these businesses help patients and their doctors manage and even cure illnesses that not so long ago were considered life-threatening or even death sentences. But these are businesses, and their primary function is to make money and deliver value to their shareholders. And according to physician Adrienne Few-Berman, director and founder of the Georgetown University-based education and research group Farmed Out, they're using some pretty sneaky tactics to put subtle pressure on doctors. On February 7, 2011, Dr. Few-Berman was an invited guest of the college's chapter of the American Medical Student Association and Medical Student Government. Second-year Carver College of Medicine student Amy Young sat down with Dr. Few-Berman to talk about how physicians can counter the inappropriate messages they may get from the pharmaceutical industry.
Hi, my name is Amy Young. I am a second-year medical student at the Carver College of Medicine, University of Iowa. Today, I am speaking with Dr. Adrienne Few-Berman. She's come to visit us from Georgetown University, and she is an expert on pharmaceutical industry issues and in relationships with doctors. So thank you for joining us today, Dr. Few-Berman.
Thank you, Amy.
So what is pharmaceutical promotion?
Pharmaceutical promotion actually encompasses a lot of different things, including detailing or drug rep visits to physicians, but it also includes influence on grand rounds and continuing medical education, advertising to both physicians and patients, and influence on medical meetings and medical journals. A lot of things that people don't necessarily think of as promotion really are.
So what type of tactics does pharma use to influence physicians and through these different venues?
The most important tactic is using a relationship. So drug reps, for example, really try to build up a good relationship with each one of their physicians. In fact, pharmaceutical companies will usually send a man and a woman to a physician's office first to see which one the physician responds to. And then that person will become the lead drug rep, and the other one will buy presents for the physician's children, for example. They gather personal information on physicians and also keep track of the prescriptions that a physician writes. So there are companies that collect information from prescriptions from community pharmacies. So about 80% of prescriptions in the U.S. are picked up. And so when a drug rep walks into a physician's office, he or she knows what prescriptions the doctor wrote in that previous week. They learn a lot of different psychological techniques to manipulate physicians, including a titrated dosage of gifts. So while pharmaceutical companies are no longer distributing the reminder items, the pens and pads and mugs, they're still allowed to buy lunch for physicians and distribute things that can be used in patient care, so patient models and books and that sort of thing. But in fact, these are all gifts, and food is a particularly potent gift there have been studies that have shown, for example, that people like other people better when they're eating, and they are more positive about specific ideas that are provided to them when they're eating.
So you feel really strongly about this issue, obviously, and you're doing work to counter pharmaceutical industry's influence on how physicians prescribe. And I understand that you founded Farmed Out, an organization that functions out of Georgetown University. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Farmed Out is a research and education organization that focuses on inappropriate pharmaceutical marketing tactics. And we're now 4 years old. We were originally funded through a grant from the Attorney General Consumer and Prescriber Grant Program. So this was actually punishment money from Warner Lambert, a subsidiary of Pfizer, for illegal off-label promotion of Neurontin, and the attorneys general of all 50 states and D.C. decided to use some of this money to fund education effort at academic medical centers. And Farmed Out was founded with that, but we've been kept alive the last few years mainly by individual donations, as our funding ran out a couple of years ago. But we've been really effective at uncovering, for example, the ghostwriting tactics that are used in medical journals, where academic physicians put their names on articles that they didn't write. right? Of course, we would throw you out of school. We would throw students out of school for plagiarism, but the practice is really quite common among academic physicians who put their name on articles that are actually written by industry. And there are also physicians are flown around by pharmaceutical companies to convey specific marketing messages about drugs. It's a common misperception that physicians paid by pharma may promote specific drugs, and what people don't understand is not the job of these opinion leaders to promote drugs, it's their job to promote diseases. So physicians, academic physicians, are used to convey the idea that a specific disease is underdiagnosed or more prevalent than previously thought or more serious than previously thought. And even the physicians who participate in this may not realize what the marketing message is that they're conveying, but that is their job to convey marketing messages even if they don't know what they are. So it's very difficult to figure out sometimes what these marketing messages are. Marketing for a drug can start 7 to 10 years before a drug even comes up for approval by the FDA. So that pre-launch marketing, as it's called, might include emphasizing a new mechanism of action, and then suddenly the drug appears on the market that actually addresses that mechanism of action, or perhaps some pre-launch marketing might include telling healthcare professionals about the wide prevalence of a hitherto unknown condition that has been invented by pharma, so something we call disease mongering, for example.
So are you interested in giving any examples of how this marketing can actually, can you give examples of direct negative effects that it has on patients in the United States?
Yes, we at this point, 90% of elders are on at least one prescription drug, and it's not uncommon for them to be on 10 or more drugs. One out of four children is on a prescription drug, and of course, prescription drugs have risks as well as benefits, and what we'd like to strive for, of course, is rational use of drugs. There are people, drugs can have great effects and they can save people's lives when they're used appropriately, but physicians often have a dim understanding of the risks of the drugs that they're using, and when physicians rely on information from industry, they will have a distorted understanding of the benefits and the risks of drugs. So it's been shown, for example, in taped interviews that physicians fail to describe the risks of the drugs that they prescribe in 2/3 of interactions with patients. And in some cases, they may not know what the risks of those drugs are. If you get your information from drug reps or other forms of pharma information, they're not likely to tell you about the risk of liver failure or rhabdomyolysis or other aspects of a drug, or they might spin adverse effects as benefits. So, for example, if a drug causes sleepiness, causes sedation, the drug rep might say that this would be a really useful drug for your patients with insomnia. Or there's even a way that drug reps have been taught to spin an unpleasant side effect like nausea. It might be difficult to think of what the positive aspect of nausea is, but what drug reps tell physicians is this could be really useful for some of your patients who need to lose a little weight.
My goodness. So where do we go from here? What steps can physicians do to get reliable information about the drugs they're prescribing?
Well, the most important thing is to avoid interactions with industry. That means not seeing drug reps, and I'm really happy to report that at this point, 1 in 5 physicians in the U.S. refuse to see drug reps. And by the way, companies will actually target the people you know if they can't get to you. So they will take your receptionists and your nurses out to happy hour and detail them in hope that a marketing message will get through them to you. So what I tell physicians is take your own staff out for pizza once a week. Like, well, that goodwill could be directed towards you instead of the representative from a large pharmaceutical company. And don't go to industry-funded dinners or lunches. And don't accept speaker invitations and that kind of thing for industry. You know, sometimes there are many ways to try and get physicians' money. So, for example, a drug rep might say to, or another representative might say to a physician, you know, we'd love for you to just come to, you're so articulate, you know, and you seem to really care about whatever an issue is. We'd really love for you to come talk to a group of 5 or 8 doctors at a nice steakhouse. And we'll pay you 5 $500 or $750 or $1,000 to do this. They don't actually care what the physician says during that talk, because after a physician has taken $500 or $1,000, their own prescribing goes up, which of course they can keep track of, and so they can see that. So you might be talking about something, it doesn't matter, they really don't care what you're talking about. Another thing that they might do as community physicians is to invite them to a quote-unquote speakers training that isn't a real speakers training, where they might bring 200 doctors to a resort and treat them really nicely and pretend that you're being trained for speaking, but really you're memorizing marketing messages and they have no intention of ever using you as a speaker. But again, you're getting paid and your own prescribing of the drug goes up. So it's a very different situation when they're actually training someone to be a national key opinion leader, as they call it. But anyway, I think that physicians who are teaching medical students should not have ties to industry. That ties with industry affect our perceptions about drugs and other therapies, whether or not we're aware of that. So what I would really like to see is a complete disconnect between the physicians who work for industry, which is certainly their right to do, and physicians who teach. But we would be best serving our patients if we avoid industry-funded drug information of all kinds. There are non-industry-funded sources of information, including drug therapeutics newsletters, such as Chris Greer, which is a great French drug therapeutics bulletin that's available in English. Also the medical letter, the prescriber's letter, and there are some great bulletins that are available from England and Australia, for example, and there are links to these different sources of information on the Farmed Out site. So it's farmedout.org, farmedout.org, and we've also got a lot of resources on the site, including downloadable slideshows that can be shown at grand rounds. We have patient fact sheets. We have videos of interviews with industry insiders, and a lot of different resources on the site, including a no drug rep certificate that physicians can hang in their offices to explain to patients why they don't see drug reps and don't have samples available. Samples, by the way, are the best marketing tool that companies have, and samples are only available for the most expensive, chronically used drugs. And I think physicians don't realize that when you give a sample to a patient, you're endorsing that drug, which is probably one of the newer drugs that we don't actually know all the risks of at that point. But when a physician hands a sample to a patient, the patient thinks, this physician has thought through all of the options of treatment and has chosen this because this is the best treatment for me. They are not thinking they gave me this bottle because it was in front of the sample closet. It had a nice packaging, and the drug rep who put it there is really neat.
Well, you've given us a lot of information to think about. This is really great, and I wanted to thank you again for coming to the University of Iowa to share your message with us.
Sure. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to The Short Code. The Short Code is produced by the Writing and Humanities Program at the University of Iowa Carver College of Medicine, with support from Medical Student Government. You can visit us online at theshortcode.com, you can find us on Facebook, and you can follow us on Twitter, where we're known as The Short Code. We also take comments and story ideas and the occasional rant from you, our listeners, via email at theshortcoats@gmail.com, or leave us a message at 347-SHORT-CT. That's 347-746-7828. That's also where you can submit a question for our advice segment, The Short Couch. The executive producers are Jason T. Lewis and David T. Etler. Our theme music is by Revolution Void from the album Increase the Dosage. Find them at www.revolutionvoid.com.